Welcome to the Coaching and Therapy channel. So this channel is quite close to my heart because I train coaches in embodiment. I mean, why? Because if you don't work with the body, you're missing a lot. Whether you're a coach, a therapist, facilitator, whatever, that's how you go deep quickly. That's how you do stuff that's sticky. We have to take the body into account. This channel is sponsored by Dylan Newcombe and Uzazu Embodied Intelligence. Dylan is a genius, quite simply put, and I wouldn't say that about many people in this field. I've been studying with Dylan for, God, the first time was probably 10 years ago in the Netherlands. Speaks fluent Dutch, by the way, as well as Korean and a few other languages. What I love about Dylan is his ability to make models of things, looking at how embodiment works. His system, Uzazu, U-Z-A-Z-U, is really all about state shifting. So I think of him as the sort of master of state changing, how we can shift our state, our client's state, and how we can develop ourselves through those different ways of being. So I think for coaches and therapists, it's like easy to learn, practical toolkit. I've used it myself over the years. So if you want a 3-day online training with Dylan, then look at the link below, or you can go to Uzazu, uzazu.org. And even easier, he's got an embodied assessment there you can do as well. We all love doing these little tests about ourselves, but this is an embodied one. So there you go. Welcome to the Coaching and Therapy channel. I'm going to be on this one a lot just because there's lots of cool people on here. Lots of people, I think, you know, well worth a listen. Embodiment in facilitation is so necessary. So from me to you, welcome.
Welcome back. Alexandra Vilvovskaya. Alexandra is a trainer, a coach, a therapist, a mummy, and she is also a leader of Russian-speaking embodied community. Alexandra's topic is cultural embodiment, and she's going to take us today beyond trauma and stereotypes, and she will talk about embodiment from the cultural point of view. So we are not embodied only in a personal traumas and dealings, but everything around us, our world, our religions, traditions, professions, everything that we live in, we are also embodying. And Alexandra is going to talk about this aspect, how we can deal and work with it in the coaching and therapy, but I suppose also in the daily life. And I must say that I am very honored that I can present you, since this topic is very dear to my heart, being kind of brought up in one culture and then living already half my life in another culture. I see that as really important thing in today's world, where many of us are living that as well. Alexandra, to you. And one thing. For people who would like to ask questions, please put them in a Q&A box, and then the questions will be answered most likely at the end of the session. But if Alexandra feels like the energy is different, then we are going to do it somewhere in the middle of the talk. But all the questions to Q&A, and also you can all vote for questions so that you are not repeating the question. If you like the question, just click like, and then we are going to ask the question that has more likes. Okay, that's all the announcements. So Alexandra, to you.
Thank you, Tamara. Okay, welcome everyone. Thank you very much for being here and for your interest in my topic. Sometimes I think that it's my personal particular interest, curiosity, what about cultural embodiment? And I'm happy that there are a lot of people now that share this interest with me. And thanks for the Embodied Conference, who gave me a chance to share my passion, my curiosity, and also my experience in cultural embodiment with people from different countries. And I need to confess, I used to do this session in Russian, and I'm not native speaker, and it's not usual thing for me to do presentation in English, so I please forgive me for my mistakes. And yeah, it's our cultural pattern in Russia, especially about foreign languages, but for other things as well. Do it right, do it correct, or never do it. So I experience it right now in my body. I want to release this feeling, so please forgive me for my mistakes in language. Okay, so first of all, I do a lot of job as coach, as trainer, as therapist. I'm certificated body therapist, dance movement therapist, and trauma therapist as well. And for last 7 years, my first word is embodiment. So a little bit small shifting. And for 5 years, I'm running embodied facilitator course, this big international program created by Mark Walsh and Francis Breyers in UK. It's international program, but I run it in Moscow for Russian speaking people. Russian branch, Russian version of this international program. And that's my main job. And from this point, my interest, my curiosity to cultural embodiment is something like, it's something like guilty pleasure. I'm just very, very curious in this topic. And I enjoy to share my experience, my knowledge, my observations. I'm happy to share it, but at the same time, I have this question in my mind. Who am I to talk about it? Because you know, nowadays, when you start to talk about culture, the first question is who you are talking about this culture, or who's talking? Because when we start to think about any cultural aspect, any cultural thing, it's quite easy to go to stereotypes, which are first wrong, mostly wrong, and very subjective, in fact. And it's not useful to think through stereotypes about different cultures, different nations, different people from different cities, for example. And the other thing that is quite usual for nowadays, several years, in fact, maybe a couple of years, the main topic when we discuss, when we talk about culture, is collective trauma or cultural trauma. And I think it's very, very important to talk about it and to explore and to learn about it more, because it's really a huge part of our cultural embodiment. And as a trauma therapist, I know a lot about this, and as a professional who mostly work with people from Russia and former Soviet countries, I know a lot about collective trauma. And I experience it myself, because I'm also from former Soviet Union, from Russia, and during last couple centuries, we had a lot of dramatic history, and I feel it in my body. And also as a Russian Jewish, I also have this part of trauma history in my body, and I work a lot with Jewish people from former Soviet countries. And I know this level of collective trauma as well. So to talk about and to learn and to heal collective trauma is extremely important thing today. And there are a lot of great specialists who can talk much more about this job. So today I will not talk too much about trauma. I prefer to talk about more subtle things about cultural embodiment, and it could be connected with trauma, it could be not connected with trauma, but it also influence on our everyday life, and it also can influence on our clients. So my presentation will have two parts. In the first part, I suggest to explore your personal cultural patterns, embodied patterns. And at the end of this session, I want to share a couple examples, a couple of cases, how we can help our clients through embodied lens to manage difficulties connected with their cultural embodiment. So that's the plan. And yes, I can talk about this topic forever, for a long time. I will try to put it in box and keep structure. Well, you know, when I start to prepare this presentation, I wanted to use a very good advice that I know from a lot of coaches and books for public speakers. All they used to say, find the story and tell the story. And I found it quite challenging for me because I couldn't find the story behind this interest. Why I'm curious, so curious about cultural embodiment, why? It's for a long time, for many years, why I'm doing this. And then I start to remember different details and I found that looks like my curiosity to this particular topic came from fear. Let me explain what I found preparing this presentation. Okay, I was born in Soviet Union. There's no such country today. And maybe I'm the part of the last generation of Soviet people who were born in Soviet Union, went to school in Soviet Union, entered university and graduated from university in Soviet Union, in this country. So this quite long period of my life and very sensitive period of my life, my personal development, I live in Soviet Union. What does it mean? First, Soviet Union, Russia as well, but Soviet Union is even bigger, was a huge country. If you imagine the map, the world map, do you know this big, unclear spot, this side of the map? Here we are. It's huge, really huge. It's, if you are curious, it's 8 time zones in one country. And Soviet Union, also extremely multicultural country. And different religions, different ethnicities, different traditions, a lot of different people around. And at the same time, Soviet Union was quite closed country. If you know something about North Korea right now, we were like North Korea. That means that we were looking more inside than outside. We had no a lot of connection with people from other countries. So we're quite close. Huge, multicultural, close. And at the same time, we have, it was an official policy for many, many decades. Of course, we have Russians, Ukrainians, Kazakh, Estonian, Bashkir, Tatar, Uyghur, Mongolian, Korean, whatever, a lot of different nations. But what was important, we were all Soviet people. That means that we had the common story and the common history. We had the same language. We all talk Russian, better or worse. And we even had the song about it, something like, wherever I go, everywhere is my home. And it was a very strong feeling that everywhere in Soviet Union is my home, wherever I go. Whew. And it was one part of my story. And the second part of my story, which I found also, quite important. I was born and I live almost more than half of my life in the very center of Moscow. So Moscow is the capital of Soviet Union and Russia. And the center of Moscow, it means cool. If you live here, if you lived here previously and if you live here now, it's really cool. It means you're cool. And imagine this this space of this manner of being. I was Soviet girl, which I lived in the very center of the biggest city of the biggest country. And when I start to think, when I thought about other places on the map or in the space, it was like I'm here in the very center and I'm cool and I'm important. And I look outside. And even now, when I, for example, when I take metro and go from my center and go to the far district of Moscow, it's the same city, it's a huge city. And I, for me, it's like a trip. It's adventure, it's a traveling to, in some sense, to another country. And even now, I'm 51 now, even now when I do this, I feel this some sort of fear, like I'm traveling to other part of the world. I'm okay and safe in my space, and I feel fear when I travel somewhere else. I will come back to this moment later in my presentation. When I was around 30, I started to travel more or less. And at the same time, I started my professional training in embodiment, body therapy training, dance movement training. And I start to, and that's why I developed a quite special professional skill. It became possible for me to see the body details of people in different countries. And as I was quite afraid when I travel abroad and meet people who don't speak Russian, they speak other languages, and maybe they're much better than me. Or maybe they're a little bit worse. I don't know. I have to check. And I use my professional skill to see the bodies to clarify who are these people. Maybe they're dangerous, maybe they're really cool. And I developed this curiosity to see different details in different bodies. It's professional skill, but we all can develop this skill of observation. And from this traveling, from this period of my life and of my professional career, I start to gather a great collection of juicy details. For example, in Italy, in Milano, I found that a lot of guys in this city, it's male cultural pattern, I don't know why, but they have a very tiny details in their shoulders, little bit turned in their shoulders. I don't know why, I don't know what does it mean, but when I try to do it, I feel like I want to embrace something, softly embrace something very important for me, what I care about. I don't know what is it. But I noticed a lot of guys with this pattern in Milan? Or other city, other pattern. Around 10 years ago, it was my first time in Belgrade, Serbia. And I noticed that, again, male pattern, quite a lot of guys in the city have a very interesting manner of walking. When they walk, they don't use their heels. They use only forward part of their feet. Yeah. And when they walk, it's a little bit like running or jumping. And it was only for guys between around 25-35. So elder and younger, I didn't notice this pattern for them. And what I thought at that moment, 10 years ago, that it's somehow connected with the war history of Serbia and Yugoslavia as well. So it's something about war experience of these guys when they were young, when they were child. I'm not a researcher. I didn't do special academic research around this. So it's my suppose that it's somehow connected because it's very unstable way to move. And when you are not stable in your posture, it's somehow connected with a stress response in your body. So I think it's possible, this connection is possible. One more, okay, two male patterns, one female pattern, and I found it 2 years ago. I did a year-long training program in Far East city of Russia, Vladivostok. It's almost the end of Russia, east end of Russia, and it's almost China, 2 hours from the border. So, it was almost female group. They were psychologists. And I noticed that almost all ladies in this group, when I suggest them to stand up and notice how they stand, to aware their posture, and I look at them first time, and I noticed that almost all of them have a quite wide stand in the feet. I explain. Russian cultural pattern for women, female pattern, not only Russian, but in Russia I see it for sure a lot, to stand with narrow feet. It's gender pattern. And I do it a lot as Russian female person. So, and I was surprised that, especially in this city, women stay like this. I saw it in Netherlands, for example, but I never saw it in Russia. I was surprised. And I started to think how it can happen that in this particular city, women have a very stable and wide posture, standard posture. And then I understood, again, it's my idea, it's my fantasy, maybe it's truth, maybe not. I never did research around this. I noticed that, okay, Vladivostok is the city that's situated on the hills and around the hill, between the hills. So they almost don't have flat surfaces, flat streets. Every time you go by street, you go up or you go down. And it's impossible to do, especially there are a lot of winds here in this city. So it's impossible to do if you narrow your feet. You have to develop this pattern to be stable, just to go down the street. So it's very curious, and I have a lot of this. I have a lot of these stories about different people in different cities, in different countries, because I enjoy to find these details. And maybe if I will do a stand-up show, maybe I will do it later sometime. It will be a great and popular stand-up show because people very curious to know about their cultural patterns, because it's something totally invisible before, it wasn't seen by the eyes of stranger. But luckily, I had a chance to go deeper. So it's not just a collection of funny facts. I had a chance to go deeper. In 2013, I did my embodied facilitator course with Mark Walsh and Francis Brush. And in this course, we used to use a very simple, but I find it great model of understanding different patterns that we can express than we have in our body right now or long period. And I will show my fingers. Maybe you already know this model because it was published in the internet and a lot. It was published in Mark Walsh's book this year, last year. So it's very simple, and it's, in fact, it's very practical. Of course, we all have some personal level of embodiment patterns that make these patterns make us us. It's me, it's mine, it's my history, it's my preferences, it's my way of being. And it's personal layer of embodiment. And we can express this personal layer of embodiment in different contexts, like relational context, where different, we create different embodiment with different people. It could be environment context, where we create different embodiment when we are in small room or big place, where in nature or in on the street with skyscrapers, or when we are in basement, or where if we are on the roof. And if you are curious in this topic, it's a great topic, very juicy topic. I highly recommend to spend next session of this conference on the track environment and research, where my colleague Ekaterina Samatey will do the session about environment and environment from the eyes of architects. Yeah, so relational environment, situational in church or in rock concert, obviously different. And we also have some very intense and a very important layer of embodiment, which is biological, physiological, which is common, more or less similar for all of us. Of course, with male body, different physiology, but we are all human beings. And this biological, physiological core is quite important for all of us. And I prefer to think that somewhere between this biological core and our personality, we have a layer of cultural embodiment. And it's something that we can share with people around. Not all of people, like biological level, but some of people. And this cultural embodiment pattern can come from history of my family, for example, or my city or place where I grew up, or my profession, or my practice, or my social group. It could be from different sources. And it's very curious to notice, to explore all these patterns. For example, I am dance therapist. I have one type of embodiment. And if I become, if I do business training, I have another type of embodiment because I trained to be a business trainer and I kept this pattern in my body. And also imagine you on the stage, you have people from close but different professions. Like, this is psychotherapist, this is business trainer, this is meditation teacher, this is dance therapist, this is yoga instructor. And they all sit in their chairs, but you can see their differences. And it's professional embodiment. We all have it. And it's very curious again, but we all have this cultural pattern. And it's great to know what I do in my body right now or for a long time, what is my personal or what is situational, and it's right now or with these people, and what is my biological, what is, for example, my reaction on sugar, or my stress response, and what is my cultural embodiment? Because if we're aware what is my cultural embodiment, what I'm doing in my body as part of my culture, we can choose how to manage it. Do I want to continue do this in my body, or maybe I'd rather change something? So it's a very juicy place to explore, and a lot of information from this you can find. If you have any questions right now, before we start to explore our cultural patterns, it's time to ask. So, and I will have 1 minute break.
Yeah, take a break. Maybe we can stretch, or maybe we can kind of a little bit do couple of movements. I don't see any question in the chat. And I see Susan says that you are really very cool person and very interesting person, so there is and I find very fascinating. I'm so happy to see Alexandra, says Ina, and it reminds me, I just want to kind of, my father was on a ship, he always was working on a ship, and he was always really walking, like really with the wide feet, and we were always laughing, oh, he's still taking the balance when we come home. So that is very much resonating with me, the things that you said. So yeah, very, very interesting. I like it. Mm-hmm. I love it. I'm from Ukraine and only started to weigh in coaching, mindfulness and embodiment. So someone is new. And Tamar Pirel says, this is so amazing. So
yeah, thank you very much. People
are very, I think it's also quite new. So this, you have to get to sync.
Yeah, great.
Yeah.
So let's do something embodied. And let's play and explore a little bit. And I want to suggest you some small exploration. I created it particularly for our Russian embodied facilitator course, because when we start to adaptate this program created by two cool British guys, it's international program, and it was created by two cool British guys. When we start to adaptate this program for Russian-speaking people, we found not big issues, but some tensions, some difficulties in different questions, like this is around authority, commitment, obligations, agreements, and something like that. And we decided to make it visible, that we all have some cultural patterns that express and reveals during our, for example, learning process, how we learn. And we found that it's very useful and helpful to find our cultural path. So I invite you to do this exercise with me right now. And I also want to say that sometimes this exploration is not something pleasant. Sometimes it could be a little bit painful. So before we start, choose to participate or not. If you are not, if you didn't sleep well, if you are hungry, if you are upset, under-resourced or ill, please don't do it. Just listen. Maybe it will be totally enough. And if you are ready to start, I invite you to find some comfortable position. It could be sitting, it could be standing. It's great to do it walking. So if you have place to move, to do several steps around, please use this option. I will do it sitting because I limited with my screen and with my camera, but you can do whatever you want. And this exploration will have several steps, and you can move the other step, the next step, only if it's okay for you. If you feel too much for you right now, please step out and check it off. Do? Cool. I see fingers from tech team. Thank you very much. Okay. You can close your eyes, you can leave your eyes open as you prefer. And right now, I invite you to imagine the place where you grew up or where you spent a lot of time between 5 and 15. And please choose some place, some maybe street, city, blocks, country, or whatever, some more or less pleasant or at least natural place, no difficult emotion. And I hope you imagine this place. And on the next step, if it's okay for you, I invite you to remember some people in this place. And I ask you to choose some random people, not your relatives, not your family, friends, teachers, or other people that you had a strong emotional connection. Some really random people on the streets or in the shops. Or maybe you have an example of the person and you remember this person and you can say, oh, this is typical for this place. This is typical person for this place. Okay. And if it's okay for you, if it's enough, you can step out. If it's okay for you, I invite you to remember or to notice in these images some details, some body details. Something about the bodies of these people. Maybe one or two details will be totally enough. Maybe something about the head, maybe something about facial expression, maybe some shoulders, arms, hips, legs, feet. Maybe you have some feeling of qualities from this body. Is it soft or tense, or from movement from this body? Quick, slow, flowing, chaotic, heavy, light. Or it could be some intention in the body. Up, down, forward, back, outside, inside. Or maybe just one small detail of these people. Mm-hmm. And if it's okay for you, we can do the next step. I invite you to do this detail in your own body right now. Very, very gentle, not total, but maybe 5-10% to add this detail in your body. Little bit, very, very gentle. I see Tamara. Tamara, please do it very, very gentle. Maybe less, not intensive. And if it's enough for you for now, please step out and check it. And if you are ready to go deeper, you can exaggerate this detail a little bit. Again, 5%, please don't do more. It's enough, 5% is enough. Okay, and now, if it's okay for you, you can keep this embodiment, this cultural embodiment. If it's not okay, you can step out and shake it off. But I have several questions for you right now. First question, and maybe the most important question, is it familiar for you? Can you recognize this small detail like, oh, that's me, I know that. Oh, it's like, I don't know, it's like my home shoes. I know these details, I know this embodiment. So is it familiar or not familiar? The second question is, from this embodiment, what advantages and disadvantages you have? What strengths and weakness you can have? What opportunities and what limitations do you have with this embodiment? Thank you, Mark, for typing these questions. Maybe from this embodiment, you can find some important or main cultural narrative, main cultural phrase. And the next very important question, is it somehow connected to your life? This limitation and opportunities, this narrative, these advantages and disadvantages, maybe it somehow fit to your life. And I have one more question. Is there something that you feel like a good resource for your life in this embodiment? Something that make you more, that gives you strength in your life? Something good for your life? Maybe yes, maybe not. Just note. Okay, this very small exploration, we can do it for longer time and we can do it for different places or for different cultural sources, for profession, for practices, for religious, for traditions. We can do it for many things. I suggest to do it for place where we grew up. And if you feel uncomfortable right now, please do stretch. Jump, move, you can fight, you can shake, you can jump, you can move. Or if you feel triggered a lot, please do that. Push your hand very, very strong. I don't know how you feel and I can't see you, so I suggest different options for you right now. Okay, and now we have a couple minutes to share in the chat. What did you notice? What did you learn? What did you recognize? Or maybe not recognize? how do you feel right now?
There are questions coming. Is the feeling familiar, unfamiliar? What opportunities? That's what Mark said and put it as a out of your like questions for the audience. And no, there are in Q&A, there are some questions, but they are not related to the exercise. So shall we then leave them for later? Yeah, I can give you some feedback of mine if you would like to have a little bit of feedback. Maybe Mark can also share something. It was very, I was first surprised that the person who came up, and in, I could very easy connect to my personal, what I recognize personally, but there was also a very surprising element of culture, which I never was aware of that before. So it's very, very powerful exercise in so short period of time, actually, and just like with this question. So
I can share my experience from this exercise. Okay, I created it and I start to lead this exercise and I start to do this exercise together with the group. And well, return back to my story. I'm Soviet girl and Moscow Central girl. Yes, this is my image from my childhood. And when I start to think about people, how they move to the main street of the capital of a huge country, I immediately start to up my nose a little bit and down my eyes. And I became like this. And as all Russians, we don't smile. So nose up, eyes down. And at that moment, I think, shit. Of course, I recognize it. First, I recognize it. But the second, it was a great insight for me. Because many, many years ago, when I graduated from university and we met my mates, they confessed that during this very first year, our university period, every time when they see me, they saw me, they wanted to beat me. And I have no idea why. I didn't do something wrong or bad. I think I'm a good person. I'm pretty average person. And I have no idea why they wanted to beat me. I'm a good guy. A good girl, why? And 30 years ago, I said, okay, it's strange. Let it go. We're friends now, it's okay. And 30 years after, I understand why they wanted to beat me, because every time when you see this person, you want to do something. It's not the most pleasant person to communicate and to deal with. It was like, wow. And now I'm aware about this pattern and I noticed how I do it from time to time. And I noticed in what situation and what for and what advantages and a lot of disadvantages I got from this.
Yeah. Susan shares and says, being white and female and now senior gave me an advantage in India, but puts me in the groups that I don't often relate to. So maybe, would be interesting for Susan to kind of embody the explore why not.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, do you want to continue for another 5 minutes or?
5 minutes, yeah, great. Yeah. And how we can use it in our coaching and therapy practice. For example, so the main difficulties for our clients around the cultural embodiment happened when they move to other culture, as Tamara, you did, and a lot of people do now. And these differences between different cultural embodiment creates a lot of problems. I want to share only one example from my experience. I use the idea of direction of the body or intentional direction of the body. So you can be more up or down, forward or back, outside or inside. And you also can have some quality in your movements, like flowing and heavy, or linear and not expressive, and so on. You can use Laban analysis system to describe the body and movement. And I had a client, she moved from Russia to Italy, and she had some difficulties with her new career in new country because she's interior designer. And you know how it happens in Italy. I know you know this guy has a brother. So we are all connected. And it's a little bit other embodiment than you have in Russia. Because in Russia, for example, we're a little bit down, in, and we also have some heavy thing on, we keep something heavy on our shoulders. That's why we're definitely very strong people. We can survive, and not only survive, be sure we will save you. We've done it before in Second World War, and now we can do it again. Don't worry, guys. World, are you hearing me? Don't worry. Russians will save you. Don't worry. And there's a lot of strength in this, but it's quite opposite to flowing, juicy, open, outside cultural embodiment, which is common to many people in Italy. And it was very difficult to communicate with those people. It was very difficult to feel like, I'm one of you. We're together, we can talk. And that's why it's easier for me to get a job. And we work for wider embodiment range, wider embodiment patterns. We learn how to move this way. We explore how people around this woman behave, embodied themselves, and try to learn how to do it with her body. And you know, it looks like it helps a lot. This is only one example I have. Have a lot of examples for this. And I want to mention it's useful to remember that in different culture has different cultural patterns, and it concerns cultural embodied patterns, and it concerns the concept of body as well, because there are several cultures, and I met clients from these cultures who doesn't understand what does it mean, my body. I don't have my body. It's not mine. It's a part of my family, for example. And when you move to another country where, it's mine, don't touch me. What does it mean? It's there's no such concept in the mind. And quite often it's the source for violence and rape. You're a woman, because I don't have this concept. So there's one more piece for cultural embodiment, which is also very curious. So what I want to stress and underline to resume somehow this session. So the most important thing, we all have this cultural pattern, and they can come from different sources. And it's very useful for ourselves and for our clients to know about these cultural patterns, how we do it in our body, how we do it. And it's not necessarily about trauma, it could be different things. And it's more easy to find it when we explore this, or we occasionally find these differences when we meet other culture and other embodiment patterns. And and it's also very important nowadays where people experience different culture and it's quite quick change of culture, and we moved from one culture to another, one country to another country. We work with people from different countries. And to understand each other, to not to fight, not to have troubles with these cultural communication, it's much easier to be aware about, oh, it's my cultural pattern. And maybe I can learn something about embodiment from different cultures, and maybe it will beautify my life. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much. This was, well, I learned a lot, and I became aware of certain other things as well. And it was really very inspiring. Thank you. And in the question box, we do have one question. Well, have two questions. Have you ever observed differences between Latino people and West or Central Europeans in their embodiments, obviously?
Latin people, Latin American people, not too much, but I spent 15 years dancing tanga and connected with this culture, that another cultural embodiment. But I feel people from Latin America, again, depends on countries, but for sure they have more chance to enjoy the life than a lot of people in East European countries, for example.
Because they are more like easy or free in the body because of the movement, you mean?
And moving hips and dancing and enjoying and connecting. They're much more open. They're more outside.
Experience. Thank you. And another question is, when you travel from center in Moscow to the periphery or even less centric areas of the city, can you see differences in the ways people express themselves through their bodies? What can you see?
I can see, maybe it's because of different social groups, but somehow it's another type of movement. It would be a different type of movement, but it's somewhere it's more like, look at me, I'm walking down by street. Do you see I'm perfect? I'm okay. Or another part of Moscow, I can see more openness, other part more softness, other part more insight, other part more, I don't care, whatever. Mm. Not much, it's not typical for Moscow, but
it's also that.
Yeah, it's some flavor, some smell, maybe. Very tiny detail.
Thank you. And just we have time for another one. Well, it's more like a comment, I would say, but do illnesses like arthritis or polio affect embodiment and movement and posture differently in different countries and cultures? So the illness and the culture.
I'm not specialist in this field, for sure. I guess it's more connected people in different cultures connected with the idea of illness. And that's why they can have different
expression of movements.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, I think I would like to thank you once again for really thought-provoking, as people in the comments are also thanking you and saying thought-provoking, definitely. And I would like to remind our participants that if you missed because you were here and you missed other things or you get overwhelmed because there are so many choices, you are very welcome to and even invited actually to buy the conference proceedings. You get 50% off if you buy them till the end of the conference. And it's a great gift to yourself, first of all, of course. And it is also a good, big thank you for the organizers of the conference and giving the possibility to organize these kind of things in the future as well with so many. We have like 1,000 speakers. So that's really like, wow. And Mark will put another links in the chat for also for you to connect with other people in the coffee breaks or in the Facebook groups. And I hope that you are enjoying and you are going to continue enjoying the conference. And to close it and wrap it up, I would like to invite you, Alexandra, to give your top tip for embodiment, living embodied life to our participants.
Breathe, if you can, if you enjoy breathing. Sense, if you enjoy sensing and can sensing. And move, if you enjoy movement and can move. That's all. That's enough for me.
That's a lot. Thank you once again, and with this, we are going to close this session. Thank you.